Just want to welcome everyone to the January 27th, 2025 Board of Directors meeting for DMA. We're going to get started with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence. All right, let's get started. Seeing we have no public comment, we'll go to the next item on the agenda for the student rep presentation, and we have Elena Glabiano presenting to us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Are we waiting on anyone else?
Nope.
You can get started.
Good evening, everyone. It is my honor to stand before you today as we reflect on the experiences and moments that have shaped our school year thus far, and look at all that is yet to come. Our time together this year has been filled with moments of remembrance, celebration, learning, and growth. First and foremost, we begin by honoring the victims of the 9/11 terror attacks. To remember the lives lost that day, we have the presentation up as well. The first responders who bravely rushed toward danger, and the military personnel who protected our nation's freedom. 9/11 was a tragic event that changed the course of history, and it is important that we never forget the sacrifice and resilience that followed. Every year, we have a remembrance ceremony. We pause to reflect on the impact of that day and the ongoing legacy of courage, unity, and service that continues to inspire us all. A special thank you to those members of the Red Clay School District as well, if any of you are a part of that, that came to remember with us. We appreciate your support, and DMA board members as well. In keeping with our theme of honoring service and sacrifice, we recently hosted a Veterans Breakfast to show our gratitude to the men and women who serve our country. Veterans from all branches of the armed forces, as well as current service members, were invited to join us. Cadets were able to interact with these heroes, serving breakfast and engaging in conversations to show our appreciation to them. This event allowed us to express our thanks for the sacrifices they made to ensure our freedoms. To all veterans, we say, thank you. Your service means more than words can express. Moving from reflection to celebration, we recently enjoyed the excitement and spirit of Spirit Week. Our pep rally kicked off a week full of energy, enthusiasm, and school pride. The homecoming games and dance provided an opportunity to come together as a school to cheer for our teams and celebrate the unity we share. Senior sunrise was another memorable moment as we gathered to witness the beauty of the morning sun, symbolizing the start of the new chapter for our seniors. And also, that day, we had a rainbow, so I thought that was really cool. Throughout the week, we participated in theme days and fun activities, all of which brought us closer together as a school family. We also had the privilege of opening our doors to prospective students and families during our open house. This event gave us the chance to showcase our school's excellence through an academic overview, interactive displays, and a campus tour. It was an exciting opportunity to highlight the outstanding work being done in our classrooms, as well as the opportunities available to every student who chooses to be a part of our community. In addition to these wonderful events, we had the chance to embark on incredible learning experiences with our C-130 and Coast Guard trips. These trips gave us the rare opportunity to explore the world of aviation and maritime security. We were able to view aircraft up close, watch thrilling flight demonstrations, and even fly inside the C-130. We also had the privilege of speaking with U.S. Coast Guard personnel, learning about their vital role in ensuring our safety and security, and enjoyed a ride along with the Coast Guard and a cutter on the Delaware River. These trips were a reminder of the importance of service and the ways in which we can contribute to the safety and well-being of our nation. At the heart of everything we do is a commitment to excellence in academics, sports, and music. From challenging AP courses and core subjects to the discipline of marksmanship and drill, we are constantly pushing ourselves to achieve at the highest level. Our winter sports season is in full swing, and our marching band continues to elevate our school spirit with every performance they have. The dedication and hard work displayed by our students in all of these areas inspire us to reach new heights and to support each other in the pursuit of success. But we are not just focused on our own individual achievements. We understand the importance of giving back to our community. Through various community service projects, we've supported local events and organizations, strengthening the ties that bind us together to bind the world around us. Our unit service days, including participation in Color Guard and Honor Guards, give us an opportunity to take pride in our unit and demonstrate the values of discipline and service. These efforts remind us that we are not just here to succeed as individuals, but to contribute to the greater good. Looking ahead, there are many exciting events on the horizon. We are preparing for the annual military inspection, or AMI, which is a chance to showcase the skills and discipline we've developed through this school year, all while getting inspected by the area commander of the Navy. Spring sports will soon be underway, offering even more opportunities for competition. We also have upcoming field trips, including more visits to the C-130 and a trip to the Naval Base in Norfolk, Virginia, to board an aircraft carrier, where we'll continue to learn from those serving our country. We will also be hosting a military ball, which will be a night to remember, as we come together to celebrate the traditions that unite us. Awards night will allow us to celebrate the accomplishments of our senior class, and then we will have the bell ringing ceremony for our senior class again, followed by the momentous occasion of graduation, which I'm really excited for. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Cadet Claviano. Just a message to our board. This was the presentation that Cadet Claviano also presented to the Red Clay School District. All of these high schools in Red Clay are required to give a presentation to the Red Clay School District one time a year. So Cadet Claviano did a fantastic job, and then I felt like it was important that she see the same presentation here. So you guys know the great things that are happening here at Delaware Military Academy, just like the people at Red Clay.
And is Elena, she's serving as the student rep to the board?
That is correct, okay. Yes. We also have student council representatives that were supposed to be here tonight, but Cadet Delaney.
Yeah.
That is correct, yeah.
I saw one of them pinning his competition at the wrestling match, so.
Yeah, the ones that swim.
Right, yeah. Okay. It's hard to find a date where everybody's got nothing going on, so it's good to have multiple representation.
Well, Elena, let me ask you this. Is there anything that you need from, and the students need from the board here at DMA? What would you say your top three kind of events like that you find students like?
I would say they like Spirit Week the most, dress down days. Last year we had cookies and cocoa with Santa, which we didn't do this year. A lot of cadets were disappointed in that, so I feel like next year we should try and bring that up again, get that started again, and I think it would really help the DMA community as well, bring us together more as a family. So
great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything for Elena?
Elena, you're a senior?
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the rest of your school year here.
Okay. Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
What are your plans for next year?
Hopefully get into the Naval Academy, if not, ROTC, and then if not that, I have other backup plans to just regular colleges and universities.
Great.
For the best.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's it, Elena. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Great rest of your night.
You too. We'll turn to Don for the treasurer's report.
Thank you.
All right, the treasurer's report.
Don.
Oh.
Let's go to Helen for the second.
Yes.
Let's get over that.
I'm like, I could go after the treasurer's report. The minutes for the November meeting were sent out. Are there any questions, concerns, or edits that need to be made to those minutes? First,
you would need a motion to approve.
Motion to approve, sorry. First, yeah, motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the board minutes from the November board meeting.
And I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Now we can go, sorry, to the Commandant's report.
I skipped over. I appreciate your excitement, though, man. I like it.
You're going to have to hold off.
I love it. So it's busy time here at Delaware Military Academy. Coming back from winter break and wrapping up the end of the second quarter / first semester. We've actually reached the official halfway point here of the school year, which is hard to believe. This year has been flying by. It's like a blur. But this does mark, and I kind of tell the cadets this every chance I get, this does mark the longest continuous stretch of school year that we have. So this is kind of like make or break time for a lot of our cadets. If you're a junior, like this is the scores you really want to make sure you're putting down on your report card for college transcripts. Freshmen, this is a good opportunity to, maybe you came in and transitioned a little rough. This is a great time for you to turn around, get those habits back to where they need to be. We got a lot of sophomores that are taking the driver's test. So this is a real key time in the school year for our cadets to really kind of make hay on their school year. We just concluded our open enrollment and interview process. I took a look at our numbers that we had for applicants this year. In the 25-26 school year, we had 390 total applicants for DMA. That is up from last year. We were at 354. And we still continuously get requests for applications today. So we're still receiving those information from people that would like to come here next year, which is good. It's good to see that the number is increasing. We spent Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Cap Bates, Mr. Gadsden, some of our administrative team, teachers, Mr. Green was there, all participating in interviewing prospective cadets. I thought the process went really well. We used our scoring rubric. We collaborated and made sure that we were on the same page with what kind of responses we were looking for. So I felt like it was an overwhelming success. Mr. Green, Cap Bates, Mr. Gadsden, is there anything you want to add to that?
What do you have to say, like, compared to the last year's? What are potential candidates looking like?
I got nothing. I will say this, though. I mean, I wasn't here last year, but I do think that there were a lot of really high-quality ninth graders coming in. I will say that there is, it's a competitive school district for schools. So we did interview some really top-notch candidates who had other schools like Conrad and Wilmington Charter on their list of places to go. And so, when the time comes, we talked about the fact that we hope that they pick us. So we did spend some time talking about, letting them know that this is a great option for you, no matter what kind of student you are, and a lot of positive conversations. But at the same time, we're a school choice, just like some of these other area schools are, and it's pretty competitive. So hopefully we get our top candidates. That's the goal, as always.
How is the interest level outside of the Red Clay School District?
It was still strong. We had a lot of out-of-school district special interest groups. The numbers don't break down that way, so I can't really analyze or give some statistics about that piece of it. But I certainly interviewed in my pool, and I'm sure Ken and Scott and Dan would attest that we had plenty of out-of-district special interest students as well. Any other questions about that?
Are we competing with private schools?
We're competing with everybody. Yep. I mean, that's kind of the way Delaware is. It's certainly a unique space in the fact that it's New Castle County, and in our area alone, you're talking about, not just the choice schools from Red Clay, but you've also got the traditional high school options in Red Clay. You've got the private and Catholic schools that we're competing with. So we're all kind of competing for the same group of small pool kids in the same, area. So it is competitive. I didn't see a lot, as many as I thought, because it does give you a choice on the choice application to write things down like Salyers or St. Mark's. I didn't see a ton of private Catholic schools, but I did see a lot of Wilmington Charter and Conrad.
I did too.
I would say that those are the ones that I saw the most.
That probably means that the cadets or the students have a strong science and other board, which is pretty good, right?
I hope so. Yep, I agree. I hope so.
Academically,
yeah.
Strong.
That's who we're looking for.
Yeah, to piggyback on what Dan said, one of the most important things we get to do is we get to sell them to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's our opportunity to sit down and tell them how great a place this is for them to come. And from a teaching standpoint, I get to tell them that now. I get to say, it's competitive, but I would love to see you in my classroom type of thing. give that kind of a message is super, super valuable.
I agree entirely. I mean, coming from where I was as a charter school who just ran the lottery and you get who you get, the opportunity to kind of look the candidates in the eye and, you know, they get to kind of look at you in the eye and you get to tell them straight up, like, this is a military school. This is what we believe in. This is what we're about. Is that something you're interested in? And have so many, you know, potential cadets look in the eye back and say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. It was cool.
Some of the times I was sitting there going, that's an eighth grader?
Yes.
Across the table from me?
I would agree.
They pressed the part. They knew it. And they were genuine. It wasn't rehearsed parts. I mean, mm-hmm. I was like, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was impressed. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
And so just remind me that we start getting the offers out to the
end of February.
End of February. Okay.
Yep, that's when we send those out. Yep. And everybody has to kind of do it within the same time frame.
Yep.
And then we expect responses all within the same time frame.
Okay.
So there was a lot of cadets where I had a conversation of, hey, listen, man, you're a quality student. You know, I could tell by this interview, you're going to have a choice to make. And here's why I think DMA is the right choice for you. And it's great to have that opportunity to have that chat with somebody.
Now, you said like Conrad, schools like that are a main competition in Wilmington Charter. Do they have a similar process where the students are getting in front of, you know, whoever?
So Charter School Wilmington's process is very similar.
Okay.
Conrad's, I don't know as well. I do know that they have a lot of internal students who are moving right from their middle school program to the high school. But I did see a lot of Conrad middle school students that were in my interview group. I would say we got a lot from HB. I interviewed a lot from the John Dickinson IB program, which is a good program for the middle school. And then I also got a fair amount of St. John the Beloved.
Okay.
So some of our outreach, we let the St. John the Beloved teams use our football facilities, they use our basketball facilities. We had a lot of them that came to our open house. We made sure that there was postcards available. So we did get a fair amount of students from there as well.
Odyssey Charter.
Yeah, we had some from Odyssey.
Another charter school. Charter.
We did have some NCS. It warmed my heart, Scott. Don't worry. I did see that. I made sure I went over and personally said hello to them to make sure that they knew. That's a good thing. So it was a successful string of days. A lot of work. I mean, we were there from 8 in the morning until about 2:30 in the afternoon every day, just interviewing. So it was a lot, but I think that it's worth it. A couple other updates that I wanted to provide. End of the first semester, end of the second quarter is also another time for us to capture anybody that might be on our unexcused list. We do have about 20 cadets that are we're chasing down paperwork for excusals to make sure that they are providing the proper documentation for whatever reason it is that they're out. Obviously, you can have four with just a parent note, but beyond that, we expect doctor's notes and things like that. So we're in the process of making sure that those cadets enter and provide the proper paperwork for us so that we can make sure that our chronically absent list is not so long. So I think when all is said and done, we are going to end up with some students that are going to be on that list, but it's not going to be as significant. I would say it's about five, which isn't bad. It is a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of running people down. Mr. Jean, Ms. Taylor, and I really kind of shouldered that to try to make sure that everybody's getting that stuff in. It's a lot. It's a paperwork pile. But we are getting it done. Special shout out to Ms. Taylor. She's doing a great job with that. Requested sports update. We have our winter sports program has been going fantastic. Our wrestling team obviously is fantastic. Mr. Stocky and I just watched the Conrad versus DMA wrestling match. It was a little lopsided.
79-0.
79-0. It was a little rough. Exactly. On Wednesday, I'm super excited because there was a happy coincidence. It had nothing to do with Mr. Newcott, but the visiting Newark Charter School wrestling team will be coming on Wednesday while we hang our championship banner. I don't know how that happened. Could be sheer luck. It's hard to say. But we're going to hang that bad boy on him on Wednesday. Cat Bass is pumped. He knows how excited I am when we get Newark Charter School on schedule. Our basketball team, both boys and girls, are doing. They're having a great season. Our boys are 9-3. They're actually participating in our kind of the main event in the Unlock the Light event on Friday night. So if you get a chance to head up to the Chase Center, it's a great facility. It's a great event. It's a worthwhile cause. I don't know if any of you guys know Chris Locke, but he's just a phenomenal speaker and tells a story from his heart. And it's hard to keep it together, but he's amazing. But our basketball team plays at 8 o'clock against St. Mark's, which is another team I like to beat. And then our girls basketball team is 11-2. They're a real strong, you know, state title contenders this year. They got a chance to win a chip. Watching those girls play together is outstanding. Our ice hockey teams is off to a great start. They're 4-1. Our swimming and indoor track teams, they're hanging in there. The swimming team had two good wins against Caravelle and Tattnall recently. They got off to a rocky start, but they're starting to come back. And then I know on Saturday, our DMA track team was at the Ursinus College Invitational. I went up there because my kids had me running in it too. So I was checking in on the DMA runners, and we had a couple of cadets who finished really strong, had some good finishes in indoor track. So we got things rocking and rolling. We're right in the throes of it right now. January is a tough month. It's a lot going on. Couple of administrative updates. When you get back from winter break, traditionally in the school year for administration, we start talking about next year. I mean, it seems like it's forever away, but it's really not. And so we have made some commitments to try to make some improvements to not just the daily schedule, but the calendar. So we solicited some teacher volunteers. Mr. Green is on that committee to talk about and vet through some potential scheduling options. One of the things I really wanted to do was, and I talked about it in front of this group before, is improve our math and reading scores. And one of the main ways I think that we can do that is have our cadets have math and ELA every single day. So we want to switch to a schedule that will provide that. I know that it's asking a lot for cadets to remember things over the summer, but in a lot of our cases, our students may take, like for example, the state standard for high school math is the SAT test. They take that junior year in the spring, in March usually. You would not have had, in some cases, math since December of sophomore year. So summer retention rate is bad. If we're talking about that length of time, that puts our cadets in a tough spot. So we're hoping that making some of these changes to the schedule will help with that. We're also working on a calendar. It was also important to us to get some teacher voice and some teacher buy-in to whatever those switches and changes might be. We've had some very productive meetings and put together some tentative potential schedules that we're still ironing out, so we're still working on that. And then the calendar committee met today as a step one to kind of talk about what a schedule looks like, what are the requirements from the state of Delaware, what are requirements for our cadets in terms of hours of school required, hours for teachers and days for teachers. Like with a lot of school schedules, there are some non-negotiables. Like for example, you have to have off for Labor Day, you have to have off for Memorial Day, those are non-negotiables. But there is some leeway for some other days, and we're getting some feedback from all of our stakeholders on what those best days might be. Our sewer pump issue, Ken. Mr. Gadsden is doing a fantastic job. Mr. Berardi is doing everything he can. Our lawyers are doing everything they can.
Well, maybe we'll just...
We'll hold off on the
executive session,
for a lot of that information, but we're still working on it. And then, so we had some really great news. Senator Coons was here in December for a photo op and to celebrate the fact that Cadet Lightfoot was confirmed as an appointment for the Air Force Academy. Nice. So that was a big celebration for our whole school. It's a complete honor to be appointed to an academy. So our Naval Science crew did a fantastic job with that. Captain Bates, thank you very much. Anytime one of our cadets gets into academy, I know it's a lot of work on you guys, so thank you for all you've done.
How can we increase the number of cadets to get same treatment to go to the academy? By like what public officials? What are we supposed to do to?
So that's a good question, Captain Mason. You want to talk about that?
Could you read the question?
More. How do we get more people to go to the service academies? Well, it's tricky because there's only a limited number of appointments
state,
that we
right?
can
how
get
many is per state? State.
Yeah, correct. I think we're 18 nominations, I think, right?
Well, it depends on the congressional representative. Senator Coons does it differently than Senator Carper and
Rochester.
Representative Rochester has done it. So Senator Coons identifies a primary, while the other ones give a slate of 10. So they may, like, for example, Senator Carper will say, okay, here's my 10 for the Dale County, here's my 10 for West Point, here's my 10 for Air Force, and so on. While Senator Coon says, this is my number one, this is the person I want to go to the Air Force. So they do it a little differently. I don't know how the new representative will work in next year. If she falls the same way as Representative Lynn Rochester, it'll probably be just a 10. So we did get a number of nominations. That's not usually the problem. The nominations, we've done real well with nominations, and just getting them over the finish line to the academy. So getting through the admissions boards at the different service academies. They do look at math scores. So if our math scores are falling off, that's always a concern that, you know, that the commandant's already identified. So we can hopefully increase that. There was some time during COVID where I don't think we were making visits to some of the service academies as much. So it's always important to do that, to try to attract some of the top candidates, top scholars from each school, in this case DMA, to go to there. So to expose them to, obviously, the one in our backyard is Naval Academy, but West Point, Coast Guard. It's a little harder to get out to Air Force, but we do have to do some, probably set up some visits on that.
But to your credit, Captain Bates, you did the next best thing. Obviously, taking a field trip out to Colorado Springs would be pretty rough. You did have one of our DMA cadets that was admitted to the Air Force last year, 2 years ago, come back and talk to all the Naval Science classes.
And the Naval Academy.
And the Naval Academy,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. Yep. So we've had some of our alumni come back and address our Naval Science classes about, like, what it's like, why it's a good option for you, why you should consider it. Because while we do get lots of nominations and getting people through the admission boards is difficult, it is a massive undertaking. It's more than just a regular application to, say, the University of Delaware. It requires a lot more work. There's interviews involved. There's a physical fitness test. There's a lot to entrance into one of those academies. And at the end of the day, you got to really want it. I mean, I think that's why the application process is so rigorous. Like, you have to really dedicate yourself to that as your goal.
I'm just thinking, you know, we're DMA. You ought to be more than just one cadet per year.
Right.
Well, I mean, last year we had one at every service academy except for Coast Guard. So I thought that was pretty good. 2 years ago, I think we had two to the Naval Academy and two to the Coast Guard.
Right.
But getting more than one per high school,
it's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. But you did, right?
Yeah, we did. I mean, 2 years ago they did. DMA did that. But it's really unusual, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It is hard.
No, I don't think there's any other school in the state that gets more than one at a service academy per year, typically. Maybe Sally's once in a while. But
yeah.
Or if there's a recruited athlete.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's probably the only other time. But we probably have five or six at the Naval Academy right now. I know Mr. Teasley probably has a little better idea of all
yeah.
of them.
We do have some that are at West Point, I know that.
Yeah, West Point.
And we have a couple I think the Coast Guard is the hardest one to get into. Did you tell me that?
It's one of the hardest.
Yeah, ones. Yeah. So Coast Guard, I don't think we at least, but we do have some Navy representatives.
Do we have any more potential appointments for this year in the senior class?
How many more nominations do we still have for this year?
Well, Cadet Glaviano is there's probably five or six still.
They were still waiting to hear back.
Waiting to hear, and they may not hear all the way until April.
Okay.
18.
Yeah.
So it's still
a long way.
Yeah.
It's early in the process.
I'm the representative for the Naval Academy with DMA, so I can see everybody in the state, and I haven't seen a whole lot of movement really.
Okay.
Obviously. One for the Naval Academy was that Senator Carper selected for the Naval Academy was a Sanford student.
Okay.
She was a volleyball player that I interviewed. So that was his number one.
Okay.
Now, like I said, Senator Carper and Representative Rochester, they each nominated 10. So our guys are in that group of 10.
In that group of 10, okay.
Yeah. We just have to wait to hear. And that really, the boards, I can only speak to the Naval Academy because I know that one real well, but I assume the other boards are similar. They look at everything. They look at grades, SATs, extracurricular activities, leadership potential, if they had jobs, sports, athletics. So it's like a whole person, they call it the whole person multiple. Mm-hmm. That's what they look at. So there's a lot that goes into it. And it comes down to sometimes like almost like a flip of a coin, like they're both really good, which one do we take? And they meet every Thursday all day. Application, so I'm just waiting to hear now.
Okay.
In that window.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think they do look at the overall student anymore, or cadet. You know, they don't just look at grades anymore. It's more all around the leadership qualities. What did they do in school besides just academically?
Yep.
Yeah, because everyone, when you go to the Naval Academy, everyone's a varsity athlete in high school.
Yeah.
It's like 95% are varsity athletes. 75% were captains of their teams. So the numbers are pretty. When you go to one of the service academies, it's like the top. Mm-hmm. So we can certainly the ones that have never considered one of the service academies, those are the ones we kind of want to target.
Correct.
You know, yeah, I like straight A's, but I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
And visiting the Naval Academy usually is a great sell, and I'm sure it's probably the same way for the other service academies. Mm-hmm. The Naval Academy really says, if we can get you on campus, that's all we need. Mm-hmm. The campus sells itself. We don't really have to do anything after that, and that's including with the parents. They can get someone that they want to get from some certain demographic. They can get the parents and that student on campus. They said that it sells itself. I'm sure that's how it is with the other schools.
How can we stop more of those tricks? Because I think, you know, students realizing what requirements they have to achieve will improve your math and all other scores, even if they don't end up getting chosen to go to these academies. It might improve our overall performance in everything if you are striving for such a high goal.
That can be something we can look into.
Right?
Sure.
It
yeah.
can be like a carrot type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We know that not everybody,
yeah,
most of you will not get there, but let's just pretend like you're going there.
And we've also, you know, increased the number of experiences that our cadets are having with military, you know, personnel and, you know, visiting an aircraft carrier, going on a C-130. So taking a trip to the service academies will be a great experience.
And we're going to one in each semester.
Yeah, agreed. And then, Cap Bates, you want to talk a little bit about the AMI visit that's coming up? That's what I had you down for.
So our Super Bowl is coming up, about 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. February 20th is our area manager inspection. So right now we're going through our inventories, looking at our supply inventory, uniforms, and then also we're auditing, making sure we have all of the equipment that we're assigned. And then we also do NSI reviews, and they look at our financials also. So that'll be on February 20th, if anyone's interested. Most of the morning is taken up with inspection. They inspect the cadets. They have bring in some inspectors. They'll inspect the cadets. We'll meet with the area manager, go over some things with her, and then we have a kind of like a passing review for her in the dome that afternoon, and then she'll wrap up in the afternoon with the Commandant and I. So if anyone's interested, you know, passing review would be a good opportunity. The inspection is kind of like watching paint dry, to be honest. You know, once you see one inspection, you see them all. They kind of ask the same questions of all the groups and everything. So, but the afternoon is really one, if you have opportunity. It's pretty good. We'll have some of the drill team perform there. And also, we'll probably do the same, very similar to what we did last year, and have some promotions at that. So, branch will be involved with that. We've also introduced going to how it's done in regular Navy. So Senior Chief Satius is big in the chief's mess. So on a ship or in a submarine, the chief's mess and the officer's mess are different than the enlisted mess. So you have the enlisted crew, they eat in their own area. You have the chief's mess and they eat in one area and the officers in another. So the chief's mess is very tight. So he's trying to kind of form that same type of bond with our chiefs. So he's meeting with them after inspections on Thursdays. And he's introducing a chief's board. So to get promoted to the chief's level, they'll go through a board, which is very similar, exactly the same way we do it in the Navy. And someone sponsors you, and that sponsor then will take your package, quote package, and present it to the board, and that'll be, then they'll make a determination of a selection based off that. So it's kind of new to the cadets, but senior chief's helping them through the process and kind of setting it up. And I think it's important because the chief's mess is all, you don't really realize that until you get out into the fleet. The chief's mess is really important to how the ship or submarines run. They're kind of, most officers will tell you that the chief's mess is the backbone of the services, the senior enlisted. And that's how it is, I think, in all the services.
Is someone allowed to sponsor more than one cadet at a time?
Okay. He or she just has to do the briefing then.
Yep.
So it's all kind of new to them, so they're kind of figuring out. We haven't had a board yet, but they're getting ready to do those.
We put a big emphasis this year on the rank up process and the promotion process and giving cadets an avenue to reach chief, because I heard a lot of feedback and got based in as well about the fact that maybe in the past there was obstacles that really didn't need to be there, or there was a lack of interest in general in ranking up during your time here. So we're really trying to establish that, you know, that promotion and rank process as like the talk of the town. And so now when I hear people, you know, say, well, I want to be chief and who do I get to get sponsored and what's the process? Like, that's the kind of talk we want to hear from our cadets. Like, that's what we're trying to kind of make the buzz around the school.
And I can't speak for more than a year ago, but I know last year there was a big turnover in the Naval Science instructors. And whenever you have that turnover, it's hard to, like, even today, like, we turned over, like, Chief Keller and I have juniors, and we turned over, like, he has a whole new junior class.
Yeah.
The one class that he teaches, and I had to give him a brief of, like, okay, this person's on fast track, this person's, he's not going to do anything, or she's not going to do anything, so.
You got to get on him.
Yeah, so yeah. There's that continuity, at least he can ask me that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had it from last year, like when I came in this year, I didn't know any of the juniors. I taught all seniors last year. You know, I made a number of mistakes in who I selected to be in charge of different things. Now I look back, I'm like, well, I won't make that mistake because now I have that continuity. We have that continuity right now. That's important.
We also have a second set of eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, with the turnover last year, there just wasn't that corporate knowledge to pass on this year. I mean, we asked Mass Sergeant Howie, like, tons of questions all day long.
Yeah, he's really sick and tired of you guys. He told me to tell you that.
I believe it. I have to write them down. I get so many questions during the day. Like, okay, you know, what do we do this? How do we do this? You know, in the past, how, you know. So once we go through it, I think, one, you know, all of us, knock on wood, you know, we haven't had any changes in our staffing.
Actually, to the contrary, we've got people that want to come on board now.
Yeah.
Like, not only do we have our six now, but we're getting word from other people and other people that from other places that want to come on board and be Naval Science, you know, in some cases right away and in some cases next year. So,
okay.
You know, it's good to have that desire to be here.
So you think there may be an ability to fill that seventh spot next year?
I definitely think so.
Well, we might be able to fill it as early as tomorrow.
Oh.
Like, we're just waiting for Big Navy to give us the thumbs up on it. But we have somebody that's interested in coming on right away.
Great.
Like, he has to give 2 weeks' notice. Whether they let them out after 2 weeks. That's up to the other school.
Yeah.
But, and then we have another person who's visiting tomorrow that's looking to come on later on this year. He's coming off active duty, so.
Word's getting out, though, this is the place to be, which is good.
And so we just need an approval from the Navy. That's more for the actual, because the Navy, the funding from the Navy.
Right.
Okay. Correct.
Right. They give 50% of the funding. Yep. Yeah, we have to probably wait for that. But we're slotted for 7.
Okay. Great.
That's it.
The marksmanship team and the drill teams are just like the winter sports teams in full swing. Marksmanship, I was down with them at First State. Saturday, they shot against First State. So they did a great job. The drill team is in action, I think, 3 weekends in a row in February, so they have a busy month. And then the drone team will probably also be in competition some in February also.
And that concludes our report.
Okay, great. I'll turn it over to Don for the treasurer's report.
All right. So before the meeting, everyone should have received the December 31st, 2024 financial statements. As Dan was saying, we're 50% through the year, you know, 6 months through the year. Our budget has been finalized with our student numbers being approved. So we're no longer in the preliminary budget. We have the final budget that we're looking at. When I look at the financial statements, taking a look at revenue, we've received $5.82 million of budgeted revenue. We're approximately 66.7% of budgeted revenue, okay? While this is greater than the 50%, we are typically front-loaded. So typically we see something that's closer to 100% number as far as budgeted revenue that's collected early on. We brought this up in the finance committee meeting last week, and you know, the main difference is in state and local funding. So the state and the other schools, districts that owe us money for their students coming here haven't essentially paid yet. Like I said, we brought it up in the finance committee meeting. There's no deadline, Ken was telling us, for the state to actually give us that funding. So that's one thing we're keeping an eye on. It's a big number. I think it's 1.87 million under where we need, so we need to get that money in. So we're continuing to monitor that.
When does it typically come in?
Yeah, so last year we were about 100% funded in the state and local funding by
this time.
Yes, okay. This time. So I'm hoping, I'm thinking that it should have been, so we're only looking at December numbers, at January it's here.
Okay.
When we get the numbers in, then we'll see. But there's no other major concerns on our revenue side besides that. That's our big one, okay? Moving along to expenses. Year-to-date expenses, we've incurred $4.68 million of expenses. That's 53.6% of our total budgeted expenses. So when I look at that, I'm saying, okay, now we're over 50. Some of the reasons for that, again, we're front-loaded with expenses. We take a lot on, incur a lot of expenses at the beginning of the school year to get ready for the school year. Some other things that impacted that, salaries and benefits are higher, and that's because of Navy services, or the instructors. Okay, so Navy science instructors there, that's causing us to be a little higher. So when you said you're getting ready to hire the 7, fill the last position, I'm like, oh, okay. But it's okay. That's a good thing. We need it. It's an open position. We need it. That'll be something I continue to look at. Student support, slightly over where we expected year to date. And talking to Ken in the finance committee meeting, you know, before when we had a teacher that was out, there was other teachers that would cover. Now we have substitute teachers coming in, and that's causing the expense line item to go up. So that's a change we've made. I think it's for the better. Scott?
Cannot tell you how much of a difference it's made.
Okay, good.
Probably the single biggest difference from a teaching standpoint.
Morale and
for the entire 14 years I've been here.
Okay, good.
It is a huge positive change.
Good.
I can't emphasize how much of a change it is.
Yes.
Because we don't have to divide our time now between grading, planning, going and doing other things, and going to cover some of the other stuff.
Yeah. Good.
And then from a standpoint, from our standpoint, it's more a matter of, I don't take a lot of time off. It's just the way I have been. I work at MBNA. If that tells you anything, so I just didn't take time off. But you think a lot less about it, saying if I'm sick and they're telling me to stay home so I don't spread whatever it is to everybody else, then you don't have as much doubt if I'm staying home.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that you don't have to take a teacher out of the classroom to cover you. I can't tell you how much of the difference has made. Huge, huge difference.
And that's like I was saying with the Navy Services Officer. That's good to hear, Scott, because that's, you know, something that we can take a look at when we go and do future budgets, because that is a valued thing that you have from a teacher's perspective.
I'm speaking from my own perspective.
Yeah.
I guess I would guess that if you asked any teacher the same question, they would respond the same way.
Good. Good. All right. The other thing is, when you look at expenses, we have we've taken 100% of our budgeted capital reserve. So that's an expense line item that we just take and push that money away and then save it for our capital improvements. That has been taken 100% now. So when you look at that number, it looks like we're over budgeted, but that's only because when you look at it, we only took 100% already, but we should have only really taken 50, I guess. But it's okay, it's what we need to do to reserve for capital improvements. In the finance committee meeting, we have reviewed the financial statements, and there wasn't any unexplained material variance between the expenses or the revenue line items. So we were comfortable from the financial committee's perspective on the financials. Did anybody have any questions specifically on the financials?
Do we expect any capital expenditures,
and there is money. We have plenty of capital reserves for those type of things. We had talked about a capital budget, and so at some point maybe we could take a look at that and where's the next big capital expense that we need to make,
like our roofs and all of that stuff is still in their useful life.
Those are all the things that we're currently evaluating.
And it's critical, because we have to maintain the assets we have.
Deferred maintenance is one of the things that I've been working with our facilities people on since the beginning of
school. Do we do our property inspection report for the property?
Yes. Yeah, we have to do that for our insurance company.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we do that, and we got a very good, clean bill of health for insurance purposes. But deferred maintenance is something that I'm trying to get the facility staff to get on board with and figure out where we are in terms of what kinds of things need to be replaced and in what order. So, you know, things like AC units, roofs, repaving of the parking lot, all those kinds of things.
Because usually those condition reports will give you a useful life and mm-hmm. kind of like a schedule would actually just follow it.
Yep, yeah. Agreed.
And then we can look at improvements. Deferred maintenance, and then look at where we need to step up and do something different and change something and improve for the cadets or admin staff or what have you.
Don, I have lots of great ideas for spending money.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have Ken here to be like, easy, easy, Dan.
All right. Any other questions on the financials? No. Right, you want me to jump right into the finance committee? I kind of touched on the finance committee. We met on January the 23rd, 4 p.m. We reviewed the financials, as I just discussed, and discussed the variances. Nothing was determined to be. So we go into a little bit more detail on the line items. I give you the highlights, but we were in more detail on the line items. Nothing was unreasonable. We also discussed the bank accounts. We have bank accounts at WSFIS for our debt payments. So it's like to facilitate that debt payment from the school's accounts through WSFIS to our bondholders and debt holders. And we talked about updating the signers for that account. Dan, I believe you provided your information.
Yep.
So on that account, there are two signers. That would be Ken and Dan that are signers on the account. And
Keith was getting a copy of the finding of the statements. So now they've put that to me. So Ken gets a copy of the financial statements as well as myself. Now I will tell you, I'll get those physically probably, and they'll come in and I'll take a look and see if I see any unusual transactions. That's how I'll put it. And then if I do, I'll bring them up to Ken. Okay. But that is something we did talk about in the finance committee meeting.
Do we get any interest on the accounts held in this?
Yeah, so that in our discussion with Glenn, he said that we could change our account from a standard checking account to like a money market savings account. So there is a balance in that account. I believe it's a little over $100,000. And so we are going to change that account into that money market savings account and obtain some interest from that.
I think there's like a limited number of transactions or something like that.
There is,
that kind of like makes it hard.
Monthly transactions are like 6 or something like that, but
we're just using it to facilitate debt payments.
A monthly payment. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because you are limited on your transactions. But we'll fall with under that. Yeah. One thing to note, Ken let us know that the 2023 tax return, the 990 for the school, was filed. Okay. Because we have a fiscal year end. It's when your year started, and so we started in 7/1/2003 and went to 6/30/2004. So that tax return has been filed for the school. All right. The next thing we discussed was the CBOC. The CBOC met on November 21st of 24. We reviewed April through September 24 transactions, so a big chunk of transactions. There was no exceptions in those, and we talked about different transactions. No exceptions noted, which is a good thing. Our next meeting will be beginning of February of 25, and we'll review October through December transactions. Right. Next finance committee meeting is March the 20th. All right, before that, in between now and March 20th, Ken will send me the financial statements. I'll take a look at it and have discussions with Ken if there's any questions.
Did you say 3/20 was the next finance committee meeting?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Yep.
Academic excellence?
Could we have a motion to accept the financial statements?
A motion to accept the financial statements?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? And Glenn, I think you said there's nothing for academic excellence for this month. The governance committee, we met earlier this morning. Not too much to report. I just want to bring it to everyone's attention. Governance usually kind of fills open positions. So if anyone is rotating off the board, let me know. If you know anyone who may be interested in board service, also let us know. One of the areas we're looking for, we know Mike is rotating off. He's actually required to rotate off under our bylaws. Someone with any type of like kind of construction project experience. We still need someone, an additional finance person, CPA, I think would be great. So if you have anyone to fill those positions, Glenn, I think you may be rotating off too this year. So I think we're gonna need someone with some type of military background experience as well. But I know we have definitely two open positions which we're going to need to fill. And we're pretty good on the allocation of parent reps versus non-parent reps, especially since I will be considered next year a non-parent rep. So, and Jen is as well. I think
you still just have. Me.
Two of us.
Yeah, just the two of us. Yeah, that's actually good for complying with our bylaws. So, for
is
that.
Is Paul staying on for next year?
I believe so.
Her kid is done this year, right?
Yeah, but she may have another one coming.
She has another one coming. I just don't know when.
Yeah, I'm not sure when. So we might have a year with her not as a parent rep, but I think she has another one coming. So that's it from the governance committee. Ad hoc committees, I think we have an update from the fundraising committee.
Yeah, so the fundraising committee met on the day that we had a snow day. It was that first day after winter break. We were able to meet on Zoom. And one of the things that before we made any steps forward with any sort of fundraising projects or anything of that nature, I wanted to kind of go over, you know, what we currently do for fundraising. We had a conversation about what DMA has historically done with fundraising, and then we talked about like maybe what we want to do moving forward when it comes to fundraising. After we kind of vetted some ideas and some thoughts about, you know, how we would best go about doing that, Chris Kenny kind of spoke up and talked about the fact that in his experience, of which he has a lot when it comes to these kinds of things, the single most important aspect of fundraising and sponsorships and those kinds of things is to have a singular person who is like their primary responsibility to do these kinds of things for an organization. And he was talking about the fact that an organization he works with, I think it was a school, I think he said Caesar Rodney, but I don't know for sure, received along with grant for someone to do that kind of work. So I kind of followed up on that idea. I filled out the initial application process for Longwood Grant. I went to one of the sessions that was done by Thayer DuPont. I met with him. We talked a little bit about it. I think it would be a good idea to pursue this idea, to have one person that would be responsible for, and I kind of listed some ideas on what I thought would be a good list of responsibilities for someone at a school like DMA, someone who would do things like fundraising, sponsorships, alumni relations, social media, digital media, marketing, those kinds of things, event planning, that would be like their thing. And with this Longwood grant, we might be able to fund that position for half a year, with the expectation that moving forward, this person would pay for their own salary and then some. I mean, if they're bringing in fundraising money and if they're bringing in sponsorships the way that we think that they should, you know, maybe creating some sort of alumni association that would give back to their high school, then that they would pay for themselves. It would be kind of a self-sufficient kind of thing.
What is the typical yearly expense for this type of position?
So I did some research on that. I looked around. It looks like the average salary for someone who does this kind of work would be about $100,000.
Okay.
One of the things that we would need is some startup funds to get this person kind of going, like materials, things like that. We also don't have a place for them. Like, we're tight on space, so maybe that would be something we would want to include in the grant. So all of those ideas are, I think, things that we should kick around as an ad hoc committee with this board's permission
should
to kind of talk about.
Should we promote this position as work from home position?
I think it could be part-time.
Right, like a hybrid or something, which
yeah.
might be more attractive as opposed to...
Potentially.
Well, especially since they may be out of the office
anyway.
With their job.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah,
so
I mean, theoretically,
you know,
yeah.
Which might not
right.
make it a...
Potentially, yeah. I mean, one of the other things that Chris had suggested, and I don't disagree with him, is that I feel like there's two kinds of people that do this job, and I've dealt with both kinds, ones who are like, meh, and then ones who are just complete and utter superstars. And if you want to get one of those superstars, you may have to spend some money to recruit one of those superstars, because this is the kind of work that's not readily, easily found around here. It's not like a position that you would see at a lot of charter schools. I know that there are some who do. There are some districts that have a person like this and some districts that do not. So it's a kind of a niche kind of job and position. But I do think it's something that would be worthwhile pursuing if we were able to do this.
Okay. And what's the timing for the Longwood?
So we would have to submit our grant proposal if we want to hit the spring cycle by March 1st. That was one of Mr. DuPont's like worries, is that it's a tight turnaround for us to get everything in that we would need to for that.
Is it a heavy lift for the materials they're requesting, or is
it? I don't think it'll be a huge lift. It's more like we'd have to have them out for a site visit. I'd have to have a pre-meeting with them. And to get all those things in before March 1st would be tight.
Okay.
And then we find out in June. And then the next cycle would be September 1st. Potentially, yeah, that's not a bad idea. That would definitely be something that we could do.
Because that's like your
that'd be great. That'd be our Super Bowl. That'd be fantastic. But we kind of work off Mr. DuPont's schedule. But
right. Maybe like
It would be great if we could offer that. I think he tells us. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
I like the idea, though. I mean, whether it's AMI would be great, but if it's not AMI, getting him here when we're inspection day or something like when.
This is like a super.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
And people will get promoted and all that stuff.
I agree.
Which makes it even more.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic.
And it's right before March.
I agree with all the things that you're saying. I think we go off what Mr. DuPont tells us his availability is, but if he is available on that day, it'd be a perfect day. I would agree.
Yeah, or just like if we, one of the cadets, I hear you, it's his availability, but if we know one of the cadets are getting into a service academy, another one.
It'd be
like,
amazing. That'd be, agree.
You know,
that
would
be amazing.
When does the service academy happen? Is that the same? That doesn't happen the same.
Literally, you mean for entrance, like when we hear?
Yeah, when we have the Air Force Academy announcement.
So when Senator Coons came here, he gave us like a week notice.
It was already.
And he wanted to come on the last day before winter break, and we had to beg and plead for them to switch it to a different day, because that day is pretty nuts around here. So just like every other school, the day before winter break's a little crazy. So and luckily his office was like, all right. And then they gave us another time, and he literally squeezed us in. He was in and out like 20 minutes.
So that'll be tough to coordinate it with.
It would be, but it would be great if all these things happened to land on the same day. It'd be amazing.
Even if we don't fit into March, maybe offer it.
Yeah.
This is what's happened for September.
Yep. Agreed.
How much is the grant that they're looking
for? They like to, so from the information session that I went to, they're big fans of partially funding, like half funding your project.
Okay.
And I don't know if it would be worth our while to ask for half of just this person's salary for 1 year. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they really emphasized was sustainability in this grant, which I think we can provide a very good reason for that. I also think that they want to see it to be like a catalyst for change. I think we could definitely prove that point as well. But I don't know if $50,000 is going to be enough to like get their attention to the point where they're like, all right, we should really look into this. You know what I mean? I did not see. So they gave a bunch of examples. Yeah, correct.
Well, we can work on that.
Well, that's why I was thinking about the capital project as being something maybe we want to add.
Well, how about the hiring the agency expense?
Also agreed. I think that would be something we want to put in there.
So it's not something we can find.
I would agree.
This person's probably like, what, 5 people like this in Delaware?
Yes, I think that's a good number.
And we can't have somebody from out of the market. We need somebody from here.
I would agree. I mean, I think yes, I agree. I mean, I have a kind of person that I would love to get. I think it'd be wonderful if we could find somebody who's in that marketing, you know, digital marketing field that's a DMA alum. I don't know if that person exists. I just got here. So if we had someone that did that kind of work, I think it'd be great because you already have that connection to the school. You already have the connection to the alumni base. I think that'd be a great place to grow it from. I don't know if that person exists. And if it's not going to be somebody like that, I've seen this work done really well by 2 different people. I know that they're not going to be leaving where they are now, but I've gotten names from them.
Maybe we can get more money.
I've talked. I don't know if they're going to move where they are right now. But I've talked.
Your experience.
Oh, I am. I'm selling it to them. I am. We don't have this position even posted yet. I've already asked whether or not they'd be interested. And I don't know if I can pry them away from where they are.
They're at other schools currently.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And they're pretty dedicated to their guy. Like, yeah, exactly. So.
Okay. Anything else from the fundraising committee?
No. That's where we left off.
All right. Any old business? New business? I think we have something to talk about in executive session, so I'll make a motion to go into executive session. Any second?
Second.
On favor?
Aye.
Aye. Go into executive session.
Good.
We're out of executive session. I'm going to make a motion to give Dan the discretion and authority to address the personnel issue we discuss in executive session. I'll make that motion. You can have someone second it.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No. All right, now we're at the end of the board meeting. I'll make a motion to adjourn. Second.
I'll second. Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.